You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Friday, May 14th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today our episode is brought to you by the Peacock and Williamson podcast. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the league. Get your picks, previews, and much more every day with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're subscribing to Peacock and Williamson, you could also subscribe to Locked On Jets. This is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. For the Locked On Podcast Network, we have new episodes each morning, Monday through Friday. And if you subscribe, we will deliver new episodes each day as they're posted. I think we have a great show today. Jake Hatch of Locked On Cougars, the BYU podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, recently joined me for an interview about Zach Wilson, the new franchise quarterback of the New York Jets. Jake has been covering Zach Wilson since he was a recruit out of high school, and he has a lot of great information. If you wanted to know anything about Zach Wilson's time at BYU, Jake will explain it on this interview. So let's get right to my discussion with Jake Hatch of Locked On Cougars.
The Jets selected Zach Wilson of BYU with the second pick in the 2021 NFL draft. We've been hearing all about Wilson over the last few weeks. We've been reading his scouting reports, but today we have a special guest who can tell us quite a bit about the new franchise quarterback of the New York Jets. It is Jake Hatch, who hosts the Locked On Cougars podcast. That is our BYU podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Jake, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
No problem, John. Thanks for having me.
So, Jake, let's start at the beginning. Jets fans are very familiar with Zach Wilson's 2020 season, but can you help us fill in the blanks prior to his final year at BYU? And let's start with the recruiting process. You mentioned before we started recording today that you've known about Zach Wilson since he was in high school.
Yeah, I have. I cover prep sports for the radio station I work for out here in Salt Lake City. So I've been hearing about Zach Wilson for a number of years now. And the fun part about Zach is this is a kid, many people may not know this, who actually thought he was going to end up playing NBA basketball. He played AAU hoops all growing up. He claims upwards of 100 different games a year. Him and his dad would be driving all over the Western United States for tournament after tournament. He really thought basketball was kind of going to be the key to his future. But when he got into high school, he latched on with a coach here locally. His name's Eric Kerr. He's one of the foremost high school coaches in this state, a really bright offensive mind. Zach got into the football scene and really started showing some promise and kind of took off there. He ended up leading Corner Canyon High School to the state championship game his senior year. And he was actually a pretty lightly recruited guy, all things considered, out of high school. He obviously, like I mentioned, had the basketball background, didn't really blow up. And this will be kind of funny to your listeners, didn't really blow up on the football scene recruiting wise until his senior year in high school. He had pretty modest stats before that, but then he blew up his senior year. BYU was slow to offer him, and the family actually held that against the Cougars a little bit. He originally committed to Boise State, was committed there for upwards of about 6 months. BYU came into the process late, really made the push that, hey, you can play football here close to home. You can drive home to eat Sunday dinner with your family. Draper, where he grew up, is just 20 minutes up the road from Provo, where BYU is based. So the pitch worked. BYU got him, and I guess you could say the rest is history when it comes to his time at BYU.
Absolutely. So let's talk about his freshman year, where he played in 9 games and started 7. How did he get into the starting lineup that year?
Well, that was actually part of the recruiting pitch. BYU had a senior quarterback going into that year, but they understood that they needed to look to the future, because after the 2017 season, BYU was about as low as they have been in about 40 years. They're a pretty proud college football program. They have a national title to their credit, and they're used to winning seasons. And they dipped to 4-9 in 2017. They gutted their entire offensive coaching staff, offensive coordinator, O-line coach, the whole gamut. They brought in Jeff Grimes from LSU, who was an offensive line coach, to be the offensive coordinator. He came in and really wanted to change how BYU's offense looked, go really kind of RPO heavy, have a lot of pro looks with guys under center and the shotgun, all that stuff. And they thought that Zach Wilson was tailor-made for what they wanted to do on offense. So they recruited him and said, hey, if you come in here and compete, we're going to give you a chance to be the starting quarterback, even as a freshman. And about midway through his freshman year, he started getting more and more playing time, started taking over for Tanner Mangum, who had been the incumbent starter for BYU. And about the midway point, I believe it was Hawaii, midseason, they played the University of Hawaii. He took over as a full-time starter. And yes, he had his growing pains as a freshman, but he finished that year with a flourish, going to their bowl game up there in Boise, Idaho, and going 18 of 18. I don't know how many guys have a perfect day passing in a football game, but Zach Wilson had just that, finishing out his freshman year.
And he's in pretty good company, actually, because Josh Allen is a past MVP of that bowl game. So if you're looking for a little omen about success in the AFC East, I mean, I don't know how much one really impacts the other, but you know, it's a good, maybe perhaps a good sign for Wilson as he moves forward. I know he had shoulder surgery at some point during his career at BYU. How do you think that impacted him?
So he actually had that surgery right after that freshman year. So they played the bowl game in December. I think it was like kind of mid-December when they played that bowl game. He had surgery, if I'm not mistaken, the beginning of January. And it really impacted his ability going into the 2019 season. So coming out of 2018, had the surgery. Going into 2019, the coaching staff told us in the media that, yeah, he'll be good to go. He's on track. He's on a pitch count. We're getting him back into shape. Well, come to find out after the fact, the coaching staff was really worried about him in the lead up to that season because his shoulder had taken a little bit longer to heal than anticipated originally. Essentially, it took a full 9 months for him to finally get back to a point where he could kind of go through a full practice. And that led right up to the opening game against their rival, the University of Utah. So the 2019 season, and a lot of people look back at it and say, okay, what is the discrepancy here between his freshman year, the sophomore year, and then the junior year? Well, during that sophomore year, he had the shoulder injury, the shoulder surgery, going into the season. And then midway through that year, he breaks his thumb, battled to come back from that probably earlier than he should have. In many people's minds, he probably should have taken the year off, but he's that much of a competitor. He just wanted to get back on the field, kind of found his way back onto the field, wasn't as effective, and finished the season on an all right note. But there were a lot of BYU fans who were a little bit down on him after that 2019 season. Considering the injuries he had dealt with, his play had kind of dipped a little bit. And really going into 2020, there were a lot of questions. Could one of the other quarterbacks on BYU's roster beat him out?
And then, of course, we get to the 2020 season, which was an unusual season on many levels. Obviously, with the pandemic, there were all kinds of changes in college football. But I think few programs were impacted as much as BYU because BYU is an independent at the moment in football, and a lot of conferences changed their, got rid of the non-conference games, which, as I understand it, left BYU scrambling to fill out a schedule.
Consider this, John. So last August, during the middle of training camp for BYU, about midway through August, BYU had to count them exactly two games on their schedule. Two. That's how much the schedule had been impacted. They had a full 12-game slate that just got absolutely decimated, like you mentioned, to these other teams and conferences that were, to no fault of their own, the conferences were looking inward, and I completely understand why they did it, but it just canceled a lot of games for BYU. The only two teams that BYU still had games with the midway point of August last year were the University of Houston as well as FCS for North Alabama. And to Tom Homo, BYU's athletic director's credit, he's able to piece together a schedule that ended up allowing them to play 12 games total that year. I know none of them are Power 5 opponents. BYU has faced a number of them in the other years that Zach Wilson was at the helm of that offense, but they were really scrambling. They had to put things together on the fly. And Tom Homo, funny enough, he was straightforward about this from the get-go. We are going to play football in some form or fashion. Many people out here in the Western United States might be aware, even just nationally, the Pac-12, the Mountain West Conference out here, they all said that, well, we're going to be in a holding pattern. We're not sure what we're going to do. BYU at one point, in addition to having just those two games, was the only school for 1,000 miles around them who was going to play football at the highest level in college sports. They said, we're going to play. We don't know who we're going to play, but we have every intention of playing this season. And it worked out, yeah, that they got 12 games in and put together a pretty special year with Zach leading the way.
And my understanding, and this is interesting because one of the great question marks people have about Wilson is the level of competition his 2020 success came against. But that schedule originally was supposed to be pretty tough, wasn't it?
There were many people out there saying that the 2020 schedule might be the toughest in BYU history. There were seven Power Five teams on that schedule. All of them got knocked off due to circumstances, like you mentioned, around the COVID-19 pandemic. And we all get it. Life was impacted at every level. College sports were not immune to that. But yeah, they tried to put a schedule together. They've got another good one this year, funny enough, looking ahead to this fall. They've got, another seven Power Five teams on this fall schedule. So had it been a normal year, you would have seen Zach Wilson playing against some of the best teams in the country, no doubt.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including baseball, basketball, hockey, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These may be protein bars, but they taste like candy bars. They're delicious, they're covered in chocolate, they're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15, it's one word with no space, LOCKED, number one, number five, for 15% off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com.
Now let's get back to Wilson himself. And you mentioned that after the 2019 season, there were some question marks about whether another quarterback might be able to take his starting job. Was it ever in doubt after training camp began that Wilson would be the starter?
About a week into it, it became a no-doubter. He showed up to training camp in shape. The arm was 100%. The arm that everybody has seen now on film hundreds of times, you've seen that arm talent. That was fully on display early on in training camp. So, yeah, I think the competition lasted about a week. The other quarterbacks on BYU's roster are talented guys, but Zach stood out head and shoulders above the rest of them and really just kind of cemented himself in saying, no, this is my job. I'm the guy here. And he went out and really proved that. He took control of this offense because the coaching staff, I will say this, in talking with them after the fact, they truly did have a competition. They opened it up. Guys like Jaron Hall and Baylor Romney, the other quarterbacks on BYU's roster who were considered contenders, they were given their shot. But after about a week, according to the coaches, it was very, very clear that Zach was far and away the best quarterback on BYU's roster. And we all saw what he did during the season.
Now, one other concern that I've heard is about that surgery that he had after his freshman year. And I'm just kind of interested to learn whether or not there was a discernible difference. He was throwing the ball in 2020 versus 2019. Did he look like he was more recovered in 2020? Did he kind of put those concerns to rest?
Yes, he did. Absolutely. 2019, it looked like at times, and the one thing that I think a lot of people see is that ability on the deep ball. And that was the biggest difference between 2019 and 2020 for Zach at BYU, was the ability to get the ball down the field, drive it down the field. We saw during 2019, at times, it seemed like he was, and this is, I know this is a term doesn't necessarily make sense, but he was almost shot putting the ball, if that makes sense. Just trying to get it up there and get it down the field to the guys. Whereas in 2020, he would just wind up and zing it. If you go back to the Boca Raton Bowl, BYU's bowl game this past winter, I was at that game, and there is a pass that he passed to the tight end Isaac Rex, if I recall correctly. It's a 40-yard pass from the opposite hash. Zach wound up and put it on an absolute frozen rope across the field and put it right on Isaac Rex on the money. That's a throw in 2019, in my opinion. He would have had a loft a little bit just because he didn't have that arm strength. In 2020, he had everything going for him. That shoulder looked as strong as it ever has been. And look, he was fully 100% finally.
What else was different for Wilson in 2020 versus previous years?
This has been a pretty heady young man his entire career at BYU. He showed up as a freshman, and many of you who have already seen probably his rookie minicamp, that first media session he had with the media, pretty savvy kid when it comes to the media. He doesn't take offense to questions. He gives good answers. He's been that way his entire career at BYU, and that kind of self-assuredness, that self-confidence, if you will, or some people would call it like cockiness, really serves him well on the football field. He truly believes he is the best guy on the football field, and he wants to prove that. Many Jets fans will see him wear these if they haven't seen him already. He wears a wristband that says, prove them wrong. It's been a rallying cry for him his entire career. This is a young man who went to BYU, who grew up a diehard fan of the University of Utah, BYU's arch rival. His dad played at Utah. The family wore red, had season tickets next to Kyle Whittingham's family, who's the head coach at Utah. This was a Utah family. Utah didn't really pay attention to him during the recruiting process, didn't necessarily give him much of the time of day. And he used that as motivation going to BYU. He wanted to stick it to Utah, and he uses that every day. Just he goes out there. He knows that people doubt him. He's coming from BYU. They're not the Power Five. They didn't play the best schedule in 2020. He uses all of that as ammunition, because what he wants to be at the end of the day, John, is he wants to be an all-timer. That's what in his mind, that drives him every day. He wants to be one of the best ever to do it.
Could you speak to his leadership abilities?
Yeah, this is a young man. I know there was some controversy about him being quote-unquote not a team captain. I can tell you this much. He was a team captain in 2020 for BYU. They carried eight captains last year. It's more than most teams will carry, especially in the pro ranks. But he was a team captain. This is a guy who he gets along with his teammates very, very well. He obviously is a guy as QB1, as I mentioned, has that kind of self-assuredness that he is the best player on the field when he's out there, or at least believes that about himself. But at the same time, he's a guy who's always going to go out there and motivate his guys. If you go back and watch the film, I know that when it comes to game broadcast, it can be hard to see this, but we saw him. I sat in the press box for all 3 years of his time at BYU. And on the sidelines, he's always going up and on the sidelines talking to his guys, talking to his receivers, talking to his offensive line, tight ends, running backs, whoever it might be. If he's got something that he thinks that they can do better, or he's just trying to pump them up a little bit, he'll go and talk to them. He's always talking to his coaches, asking how he can do better. This is a guy who is a true leader in every sense of the word. As I mentioned, he wants to be the best. He puts a lot of work in. There's a famous story, BYU's now offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick. He was the passing game coordinator while Zach was there before being elevated this past offseason. He talks about how Zach, at different points during the season, would text him at all hours of the morning. We're talking 2:30 a.m., saying, hey, coach, I saw this play from XYZ player in whatever league or in the NFL. Do you think we can incorporate this into our offense? And Aaron Roderick is fond of saying, well, I thought I was a film junkie, but this kid is watching more film than almost anybody I've ever known. And it's just something that Zach loves to do. He talks about how he loves football. It's his first love. He wants to be great at it, and he puts the work in.
Let me put you on the spot here, Jake. Give me the thing that makes you the most confident in Wilson's ability to succeed in the NFL and the biggest concern you have of his entering the league.
Well, so, okay, they're kind of tied together. My biggest confidence is that arm. He has shown the arm that can make every throw. And yes, I know that 2020 people say, well, they played cupcake after cupcake. I know that Mel Kiper was saying that all the time all over the draft broadcast. But the thing about Zach was he was making throws that guys were covered and he was still putting the ball on him and just putting it right where only his receiver could get it. That's something you need to show in the NFL. We all know that the passing windows at the NFL level are smaller. You have to be able to anticipate throws. You've got to be on point. And that's something that Zach, I think, has in spades. He has that ability to get the ball where it needs to be when it needs to be there. Now, the other part of that, the flip side of that, is the fact that he had a lot of time in 2020. The pass rush from opposing teams was not all that ferocious in many instances. His offensive line was very good. There are three guys in the NFL. One of them, Tristan Hodge, playing with the Jets right now, is an undrafted free agent. They gave him a lot of time to operate. That offensive line grew up right alongside Zach Wilson. Many of them were three-year starters right alongside him. So they grew together. They got better. But in 2020, they did benefit from a pretty light schedule, and he had all kinds of time to throw the ball. We're talking, we'd see him scramble around for 5, 6, 7 seconds and then make a big play. And in my mind, I'm sitting there, well, that was a crazy play. But when you translate it to the NFL, he's not going to have that time. We all know that there's a clock in the NFL. Any more, 4 seconds seems like an eternity at the NFL level. So Zach's going to have to be able to understand, you know what, I'm not going to have the same amount of time, the same amount of protection that I had at BYU. But I think he is understanding of that going into the league. It's a matter of him both saying it, but also doing it.
You kind of touched on this player, and it's a bit of an anticlimactic final question. But as you mentioned, the Jets did sign one of Zach Wilson's teammates as an undrafted free agent. So could you just briefly tell us a little bit about Tristan Hodge?
Yeah, Tristan. Okay. If you guys have a chance, by the way, you and the media, John, I know speaking just to Jets fans in general here, if you have a chance to listen to Tristan Hodge speak with the media, you're going to have one of the most entertaining guys in terms of just his ability to engage with people. He is a fantastic interview, just a fun-loving young man, loves the game of football. He comes from an NFL family. Merrill Hodge, if any of you might remember, a standout running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is actually his uncle. He grew up in Pocatello, Idaho. Originally was a four-star prospect out of Pocatello's Highland High School up there. Committed to Notre Dame, went out there for a year and a half there in South Bend. Decided it wasn't for him. Decided the BYU was kind of more his vibe. Transferred to BYU, sat out a year, and then ended up being a starter for the next three seasons. He's had a number of injuries during his time at BYU that kept him off the field at different points. But when he is healthy, he's a very good player. He's not necessarily the most athletic guy. He's not the biggest offensive lineman in the world. If he tips more than 300 pounds, I'd be stunned. But I'll tell you this much. He will give you his heart and soul when it comes to playing on the football field. He loves it, comes from a football family, and he really believes that he can make the roster for the Jets. And like I mentioned, if you want a fun interview, a guy who is just going to be entertaining, just ask him a few questions. You'll be surprised.
You can hear Jake on the Locked On Cougars podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Jake, thank you so much. Really phenomenal job today.
No problem. Thanks, John.
That's our show for today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and give it a 5-star review. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday to talk more Jets.